Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The text for our meditation is the Old Testament reading from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Permit me to read again these verses. A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass." Are those really words of comfort? The prophet is commanded to speak words of comfort to God's people. But when the prophet asks the Lord, "What shall I cry?" the answer is this: "All flesh is grass." All flesh is grass. To be reminded of the frailty of our human existence isn't what I would call comforting. But God never fails to speak His word of truth, even if it hurts. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews said, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So as we see in our Old Testament text, the forerunner of the Messiah would comfort the people of God by speaking God's word as if it was a two-edged sword, a sword that cuts both right and left when you swing it. The voice that declares the frailty of sinners before a righteous God, that is the voice of the forerunner. But it is also a voice that declares the enduring power of God to forgive the sins of frail flesh through the righteousness of Christ. That is the forerunner's message. Our Old Testament text for today, which is the third Sunday of Advent. You know it's the third Sunday of Advent because everything is rose. Not pink, right? The pink L stands for what the day is. It is Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is Isaiah 40. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. This is a good reminder of why Jesus himself instituted the office of holy ministry, the pastoral office, to proclaim the word of God to people. To comfort them, yes, with God's law. The law that shows them their sins and calls them to repent. The law proclaimed to people comfortable in their sins. But also to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Especially to hearts that have been broken by sin and call upon the Lord for mercy. But above all, the pastoral office has been instituted to proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ, sent not to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through Him. Scottish preacher Ian McLaren was once asked what he would do differently if he had his pastoral ministry to do all over again, and he simply said, "I would comfort people more." Now, it's hard to understand how God works in the Old Testament if you don't have a good understanding of how He works through law and gospel. And throughout the book of Isaiah, we see God working through law and gospel to save His people. In the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, the law predominates as God calls His people to repent of their sins and turn from those sins, turn from death to life. In those first 39 chapters, Isaiah records oracle after oracle of God's word in judgment against both His people and the nations surrounding Israel, rebuking them for their persistent idolatry and wickedness. They're dying, but they don't want to have anything to do with the author of life. But then the tone of the book changes in chapter 40. Where these words then are told that God tells the prophet to proclaim, "Comfort, comfort my people." Through the prophet, God declares that the time of his judgment is over. It has come to an end for his people. The last 27 chapters in Isaiah are comforting gospel. As we find out more and more about God's plan of salvation, and more about how he will accomplish that through his servant, also known as the Messiah. How the Messiah would suffer to save his people from their sins. This Messiah, though, will come after the forerunner has prepared his way. And that preparation comes through the call to repent. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus tells us exactly who that forerunner was. It was John the Baptist. The job of John the Baptist sounds a lot like road construction, right? We sang it, a royal highway. Well, the more level and even and smooth the road is, well, the better, right? How many of you like to drive over rough roads? You like newly paved roads, nice and smooth. Well, I don't know if any one of you have done road construction, but it's a lot easier to build a road across grassy plains than it is to build a highway through the mountains where you have to drill and dynamite and dig to build a road. But grass doesn't put much of a fight up against scrapers and bulldozers. And as sinners, we are all like grass before God's fiery breath of judgment. We really don't stand a chance. Now, young people may think that they will live forever, and they often act like they will. But I don't see too many of our senior citizens riding around on bicycles without lights after dark. It's scary as can be in this town. And after all, it's young people who drive way too fast for the conditions, not old people, right? And how many older people neglect trips to the doctor? Or do they know how important it is to see your physician when things start hurting? Well, that's because with age comes wisdom. But really what comes with age is the fact that we know just how frail life is. We come to realize just how short life is. And often we become a little bit too old before we realize how important and valuable time is. Now, medical professionals know that there are very few people who actually die of old age. Our bodies, because they are frail, succumb to things like sickness and accidents. We die because a vital organ wears out, like the heart, or we succumb to war and violence. But that's our condition before God as sinners. We're like grass, here today and gone tomorrow. One moment in the sun, short-lived, but then our colors quickly fade away. And that's not very comforting. But that's why God sent John the Baptist as a bulldozer, to prepare the way for the Son of God by calling the people to repent, to remind them that they are as frail as grass before God's holy wrath, to prepare them for the Savior that they so desperately need. But without the law, how do you know you need a Savior? So John can't prepare the way for the Messiah by calling the people to acknowledge their sins. He holds up the law as a mirror and then to repent. That's how you prepare to receive the greatest gift that the world has ever known. The gift of God incarnate. The gift of God revealing in human flesh just how much he desires to save sinners and to forgive them. But that forgiveness is only possible because of what the Messiah would do. It was God's plan that his Son would willingly assume the frailty of human flesh. He who is God became grass to save grass. In fact, Isaiah describes Jesus as grass in the fourth servant song of Isaiah, which you'll find in chapter 53. He grew up before the Lord like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. When Jesus assumed our flesh, he took upon himself that which befalls us all: pain, hunger, suffering, exhaustion, temptation, betrayal, grief. Isaiah tells us that he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And the suffering that he would face would be the fullness of God's wrath against the sin of the world. That bulldozer of God's wrath plowed Jesus under God's condemnation for sin as Jesus suffered and was consumed by death on the cross. Now we should remember what the Apostle Paul says to us about God's wisdom. He says, "The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." Hanging on that cursed tree, Jesus did not look like much at all. He looked like the fullness of human weakness and death. And indeed, his death is foolishness. Foolishness to unbelievers. Foolishness to the world. No more useful than burned up grass. But his death is the power and wisdom of God. In a surprising turnaround, who would have thought that the death of this ordinary looking man is life? Our life, your life. The frail flesh that hung from the cross is the Almighty Son of God, paying the price for the world's sins. And that which consumes all flesh, death, is consumed by the Son of God. Yet this mighty gift of life in the face of death, of the forgiveness of sins, can only be received by repentance and faith. For although Christ died for the sin of the world, only faith in him receives the wonderful gifts that God desires to give of life and salvation. However, if Christ remained in the grave, well, then we would have no comfort, no hope. We would have no life, and there would be no forgiveness. But Scripture promises that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so Isaiah makes this announcement at the end of our reading. "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." That's the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd isn't dead. The Good Shepherd is alive and shepherding his sheep. And you've been baptized, which means that the Good Shepherd, Jesus, has gathered you into his arms. Jesus carries you close to his heart. You are part of God's flock, the church. The true church on earth may seem weak, especially in this culture, frail as grass. But it is strong, because it is the Lord's church. And although the world may assail you and persecute you and exile you to the forgotten pages of history because you follow Jesus, remember that one of the many benefits of your baptism is that your frail flesh, your sinfulness before God, has been crucified with Christ. And in its place, a new person has arisen. A new person that rests in the enduring strength of God, of Christ himself. By the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you have the strength of faith to endure. to endure as a child of God in troubled times, in the face of persecution. You have the strength of faith to flee temptation and to resist the devil. And you have the strength of faith to face the afflictions of a fallen world, such as sickness and death, with enduring patience and courageous hope. Because you are in Jesus and Jesus is in you, you have the strength, the power, the humility to stand before God and repent, to acknowledge your sins, because you know in Christ Jesus, God the Father isn't a God who desires to punish, but who desires to forgive. And to receive that forgiveness with joy. And then, in turn, to demonstrate real, true strength. You love your enemies and even pray for those who persecute you. And you forgive one another as Jesus has forgiven you. And that's how the Lord prepares you for His coming. It is my prayer that as a preacher of the gospel, that I would be faithful to my calling, to proclaim God's law in its full sternness to sinful flesh, so that you know you are but grass in God's holy presence. And faithfully to proclaim also the gospel of God's forgiveness to those whose flesh has been struck down and whose hearts are contrite and ready to receive the mercy of God. It isn't very comforting to be reminded that your flesh is grass, but it is comforting to know that Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, that in Him your frail flesh will one day be stronger and more enduring than the mightiest oak trees, stronger and more enduring than even the precipices of the Rocky Mountains. That's God's promise to you. And God does not break His promise. As Isaiah proclaims, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. The one who stands on God's word as well stands forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.